So Romans chapter 6 tonight. Romans 6, we'll look at a verse there to kind of get us started and off on the right foot in just a moment. We'll pick up where we left off last week in our study on the rudiments of the world. What are the basic things that the world teaches? The rudiments, what are they? Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, watch out for them. Beware of them. Well, the first thing it seeks to get across to you, or rudiments are the first things that it seeks to get across to you. These aren't in particular order. They're just some of the rudiments of the world. It's certainly not an exhaustive list. But the rudiments, the world's rudiments, are aimed at making you a success. See, the world worships success. And it wants you to be a success. Of course, it wants you to be a success because you abided by their standards. They have a standard of success, and it's quite different from a Bible standard for success. Now, one of the world's rudiments is be industrious. We talked about this last week. And the world emphasizes being industrious because the world measures success by the amount of money that you make. See? Materialism, in other words. Another rudiment of the world is get a good education. And this will help ensure you a good place in society. And the right kind, see, of education will enable you to become a player, an intellectual force. And, of course, that can help you advance you to a position of power. So that's why they want to do these things. The world says, be curious. I didn't see it today. I was working on a message, and Fern tried to get me to run in to watch a little segment of a program that was on TV, and they were talking about, what were they talking about, Fern? How to be successful in the world? Do you remember what they said, any of it? Oh, about being curious. Didn't they say explore? And explored. I was amazed when she told me that, because that's the very words that we used and had typed up in your handout. So the world, one of its rudiments is for you to keep an open mind about everything. See, they think you should be open-minded about everything. And don't limit yourself. If you're not open to everything, you're limiting yourself. Don't be afraid to explore. Break down barriers. That's their philosophy. See, expand your thinking. This is the rudiments of the world. And then tonight we're going to examine a fourth rudiment, and that would be get active. It's on your list there in your handout. And we'll start there. So let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for watching over us and being good to us and being better to us than what we could ever deserve. We just thank you for Christ and His Word and being in Him. We thank you that the Holy Spirit would come make His residence in our body as His temple and never forsake us and abide with us forever and be our comforter and our help, very present help in time of trouble. And I thank you for watching over our loved ones, our kids and grandkids this past week and our church members. And Lord, we don't know how you take care of all the people and all the animals and decide who lives and dies and all the great work that is carried on this earth on a daily basis. We just are in awe of you as an awesome God. And we know you can handle all these things, and we're acutely aware of how little we're capable of handling. But we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit and for the Word of God that we have for guidance. And we pray that you'd help us, Lord, to read it and love it and adhere to the direction you give us in and through it, and help us to walk after the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Fill us with your Spirit. Cleanse us, forgive us, and fill us, Lord, and make us good witnesses. And may the word we give out to others be accompanied with power when we give it out, Lord. May it fall like a seed, good seed in fertile soil. Give us some fertile soil, Lord, some people that are hungry and want to be clean, want to live right and do right and find out about the true and the living God. Put us in contact with them. Bring them across our path. We We want to see lives change. We need revival in our hearts, in our church, and awakening in our nation. And Lord, continue to watch over and use our missionaries on the foreign field. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the fourth rudiment that's there in your notes is, we put it this way, get active. And in other words, be energetic. And personally, I'm all for that. You need to be active. There ought to be some life about you, and if you're a Christian. But you need to be careful what you're active in. That's the thing, see. You got to choose what you're going to be active in. And if you get active in the wrong field, by that I mean in a field that's not pleasing to God, then you can do and could do a lot of damage. You can do damage to yourself and to your community and to your nation. How about bringing that enthusiasm that God gives you after He saves you to the work of God? Is that really a revolutionary thought? Haven't we all thought about that already? Romans chapter 6 and verse 19, Paul says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, from one level of iniquity to another, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Man, after God saves you, you ought to want to spend your energy and your time you got left and your money and your abilities on the Lord and His work and advancing His kingdom. Yeah. Now, if you go at the Lord's work, like some of us went, some believers went after iniquity and the sinful lifestyle, with that kind of enthusiasm, if we could just transfer the enthusiasm over into the right direction and onto the right things, that'd be great, wouldn't it? The Lord's work would thrive and prosper. And that's what we need it to do. The lost world needs some enthusiastic, energetic, active Christians who love the Lord and that are carrying out the Lord's work more than it needs another social worker, more than it needs another community organizer. Well, we had a community organizer for president, didn't we, for 8 years. And we need God's people doing the Lord's work a lot more than we need politicians working to bring in a new world order. That's for sure. So society doesn't need any more change agents. They're real big on change, you know. Obama got in office promising to change things. Every politician is going to change stuff. That's how they get in. But we, more than change agents, what we need is people changing other people by preaching and witnessing the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. That'll make them a new creature. That's a permanent change, see. Now, the activity and energy that the world exhibits is always a fleshy activity and energy. It always has an element of self-interest that's attached to it. And that kind of raises a little stink in the nostrils of most Christians, or it should. You know, our lives are a savor of life unto those that love the Lord and love life and want to know what life is. We smell like, I don't know what we smell like, don't smell good to people that are unsaved. And unsaved people don't smell good to us. See? So we want to be the right kind of savor. And worldly motives are rarely ever pure. And when something's not pure, it's got a spiritual stink to it. And a discerning Christian can smell it. So an energetic worldly worker is fueled by that pat on the back. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, they want you to get active, get energetic, but why? So you can get that pat on the back. See, their motive's not right. They're intoxicated by the prospect of what they might become if they can get enough people patting them on the back. Many unsaved men and women do what they do to make a name for themselves. They enjoy being looked up to. So activity and enthusiasm is encouraged because it's a way to get ahead and to be recognized by worldlings, see. That's why they want to be active and energetic. Therefore, it's a rudiment necessary for success. And that's what the world worships, success. Who knows? I mean, if you become a hero to the poor and the downtrodden and the victims of society and the voice of the underprivileged, you might even grow up to be president someday. I mean, that's how these guys get in office. And that's, man, that's the top of the heap in the eyes of the lost world. People are interested in those things. Get active. Be energetic. Get out there and champion a cause. Everybody's got to have a cause nowadays. If you're in office or going to office, you've got to champion some cause. If you're in a beauty contest, you know, you have to pick a field that you're going to work in after you're elected Miss America or Miss Universe or something, you know, for the good of mankind. This is how the world does things. You pick out your work and devote yourself to it, and if it's one that the world approves of, you'll reap the benefits. Yeah, they'll exalt you. And this is the way that you make an impression. You might even go beyond being a role model. You know, that's something everybody, the world talks about all the time. You know, they expect these athletes that make a lot of money to be role models. You couldn't pick a worse role model than a millionaire athlete in the United States of America. They got women in every city and kids by three or four different women. And they sign contracts for millions of dollars and they're broke when their career's over a few years after. They're immoral. And nobody ought to have anybody for a role model except Jesus Christ. Then you won't be disappointed. And if you can see some Christian men and women along the way that reflect Christ and his life to you, they'll be an encouragement to you. But don't put your faith and trust in them either. We're all just human. We're all going to fail somebody up and down the line somewhere. Today, the world thinks, boy, you're the top of the heap if you can become somebody's idol. They even have shows about it, I think. American Idol. Isn't that something? Wilt Chamberlain was an immoral guy like that. And he slept with dozens and hundreds of women. Wilt Chamberlain, yeah. And that's how Magic Johnson got HIV and stuff. Yeah, these are immoral men. They're not meant to be role models. See, the world thinks if you're successful, if you make money, therefore you qualify as a role model. No, you don't. That's the rudiment of the world. And the Colossians 2:8 tells us what to do. Beware of it. Beware of it. So that's what we're trying to do here. We're just warning everybody, remind them about what you're reading. All right. The world has made an idol out of success. And I just think if you're a Christian and you're endeavoring to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and be his disciple, you'd want to avoid that. I mean, that's kind of basic 101 kind of stuff. Is it not? Turn to Matthew chapter 16. Let's just remind ourselves again tonight about these wonderful verses in the Word of God. Matthew 16, verse 24. Instead of trying to be somebody's role model and become an icon or an idol, how about this? How about what Jesus said? Matthew 16, 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, I assume you want to be his disciple. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Oh my goodness, yes. What a good question. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. So you ought to be being careful to maintain good works and have something that the Lord can reward you for when you get called up to meet him in the clouds and at the judgment seat of Christ. The way for a Christian to become prosperous and successful is found over in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Does everybody know the verse? Joshua 1:8. Let's read it together. If you want to be a success as a Christian, here's how to do it. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Just thought of another good verse. It goes along with that passage in Matthew 16, too. But here's Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. I don't know if the word success appears more than once in the Bible. It might be in there twice, but it's not in there very much. But when it's in there, it's connected with you being in the Word and obeying it and meditating in it day and night. Then you'll have the kind of success that God approves of. And He says He'll make you prosperous also. All right, we'll take one more. Fifth rudiment. A fifth rudiment of the world would be positive. Be positive. And whatever you do for the sake of the world, don't ever be negative or run the risk of being thought of as a negative person. You can't get ahead or be successful if you're thought of as a negative person. I'm talking to you tongue in cheek. I'm talking to you as like the world talks. You must be positive to get along this world today. Be positive, and you got to be positive about everything. It don't matter how sinful it is, you got to be positive about it. Be positive about sex perversion. See, everybody, regardless of their sexual orientation, should have rights and not be discriminated against. That's the country you and I are living in today. According to the federal laws of the United States, sex perverts are to be afforded special rights and protections. They've got it in law. And it's got teeth to it. And you better not say anything or do anything, boy, to cross them. Because they've got the Supreme Court behind them. See, they're playing that card. Never mind these special rights and protections give sodomites and perverts access to your children and your grandchildren. I guess we're just supposed to overlook that, huh? The world is so inconsistent. They get on these priests and all these people that molest little children and talk how bad they are, but then they don't mind if they teach perversion in the public school and turn our teenagers and our young adults into sodomites. Show them how to do it. You talk about inconsistent, a bunch of hypocrites. We talk about lies and hypocrisy. Well, boy, there's a good example of it. According to the news media, you're to campaign for these rights, and you're to make sure that the laws guarantee that those rights are enforced. This is the world's point of view. The pressure is put on school children and adults alike today to tolerate sex perversion. If you don't, then you'll be branded a hate monger. This is how the world operates. See, you cannot be negative about sex perversion. You must be positive. After all, it's the law. Being positive nowadays amounts to ignoring differences. You can't discriminate. You can't discriminate against anything. Now that word, it has been so perverted in our society. If you get where you can't discriminate between things, you're in bad shape. The people that cannot discriminate between what they're looking at are in the funny farm. They put them in a rubber room after a while. You got to be able to tell differences. I mean, they're trying to blur the line now on male and female. Who would ever thought that when you read your Bible and read in the beginning, God made him male and female, that would be an issue before Christ came back? But it is today. You run around acting like you can choose your gender. Acting like it's all right, there's no difference between men and women, they should all be able to use the same bathroom. Well, you're out of your mind. Amen. They don't want you to notice differences. That would be negative. You have to be positive. You have to think, according to the thought police nowadays, that there's no difference between male and females. Here's a 5 foot, 200 pound woman that wants to be a fireman. So you have to let her be a fireman, even if she can't carry a ladder the required distance or lift the required amount of weight due to lack of upper body strength. You ever run into this, John? Yes, okay, he's a fireman. If she can't pass the test, what do you do? I'll tell you what they do in America nowadays. You lower the standards for females so they can pass the test. That way you can be positive. The ladies can be firemen or firewomen or firepersons or whatever they're trying to be. And they can have a positive self-image and everybody can be happy. That's the main thing. For you to be positive and happy. That's the important thing. Yes, sir.
They are now disqualifying auditoriums for the NCAA finals because of the bathroom.
Right, in North Carolina. Yeah, that's right. What does the NBA have to do with legislation about bathrooms? And they're all, and see, the world worships money. So if they lose so many billions of dollars because of lost business in their state, what do? They don't care about morality or what God would think about it. They just pass whatever law would be favorable to them economically. Well, that's just apostasy, as apostate as you can possibly get. Amen? Right. Well, they said they were going to come. Right. They said they were going to come, and they would lose 5 years of commitment and revenue along those lines. Yeah. And now they put it to a vote again and tried to improve the law to get the business back. That's America nowadays. No guts, no convictions, nobody willing to take a stand for anything. I hope that that's not, don't give in to that. I hope that's not how people in God's churches are, where the Word of God still preached. You can't live that way, folks, and be a Christian and be Christ-like. But that's what the world wants you to do. Be positive. This is how you eliminate the negative things in the world and come to know accomplishment and success. See, whether you can do the job up to the required standard or not. I rode with a police department in Fort Collins years ago, and 1 day a week, then 2 days a week, just a shift, 8 hours at a time. And that was back in the mid-70s to early 80s. And there was a little police officer, a woman there, and I bet she didn't weigh 90 pounds. And I said to the police officer one day that I was riding with, I said, "Boy, that gal just doesn't have any weight to her. She's so slight and thin. Is that a problem?" And he looked at me and he said, "Yeah, it's a problem." When you're out there and your life's on the line and you're wrestling, people are 200, 250 pounds, and you got to arrest them and stuff like that. I'm sorry, gals, but a lady that's 90 pounds ain't going to be much help in a situation like that. Now, you say that's the exception rather than the rule. Well, yeah, but somebody's life's on the line because of it. And, now you have to keep your mouth shut, because if you say anything, you'll be a hate monger. But the men know what's going on. They know what a lady fireman's capable of doing. They know what a lady police officer's capable of doing. Now, some of them, I can do it. I mean, they're big enough to slap their husbands around, tell them where to head in, I guess. Some of them do it. But you know what I'm trying to say. We've come a long way from where we ought to be. I'm not going to launch into a big, long list of things the world would have you to be positive about. I'm not going to develop them. There's just lots of things. The world would have you be positive about cults and satanic religions. The world wants you to think positively about reincarnation and aliens and evolution and philosophy parading as scientific fact. They don't want you to be positive about, they want you to be negative toward those who want the right to bear arms and have the right to bear arms and want to protect themselves. You've watched our country change over the last two or three generations from a self-reliant pioneer stock to what the American people have become today. And that soft and petty and oversensitive and undisciplined and spoiled victims, unable to endure hardship, and they depend on the government to take care of them from the cradle to the grave and solve every problem for them. That's what we've turned into. God help us. You see the effects of the rudiments of the world and what they've had on our families and on our schools and on our churches and on government on every level. The more industrious, the more educated, curious, active, and positive we get, the more insane and abnormal the American people are becoming. The more tolerant and non-discriminatory we get, the more dangerous it is to go out after dark and walk the street night or day. Amen. Every vestige of authority and those in authority is under attack by a broad-minded, tolerant minority with a violent, positive attitude which insists on having its way. It's just like what's going on in Washington, D.C. If Democrats or Republicans can't get their way, what do? They just want to stop everything and do anything within the realm of possibility to get their way. That's why McConnell's having to go to that, what they're calling that nuclear option, just to get a Supreme Court nominee approved, which everybody, Democrats and Republicans, approved of several months or a year or so ago. The Democrats are just trying to block it because they don't want the Republicans to have their way. They don't even care about our country. That burns my hide. We've been sowing these anti-scriptural attitudes and rudiments for generations, and I'm afraid now the chickens are coming home to roost. We're reaping the results of it. America stands in grave need of a spiritual revival and an awakening. And it's going to have to be spawned by the Spirit of God to pull us back from ruin. And unless God intervenes and does something for our nation, you can just imagine how things are going to end up. And we know how they're going to end up. We've studied about it. And the Bible tells us how it's going to end up. You read the book of Revelation, you read Paul's epistles, and what he has to say about the last days, you know what's ahead, the tribulation period. You know exactly how it's going to end up. We're well on our way. The world says, be industrious. The world says, get a good education. The world says, be curious. Let your imagination run wild. Don't hold back. Explore anything and everything. The world says, be active. Take charge. Produce change. Do what you want, what you think is best for society. Insist on taking the country in the direction you think it ought to go. If you have to break the store windows and rob other people, other citizens, to get attention and get it done, go ahead and do it. That's what they believe in. Be positive. Whatever you do, do not be negative. Be tolerable and tolerate everything. Make sure everybody gets their rights. You see, when somebody else gets their rights, you know what that does to my freedoms? It erodes my freedoms. What we need is people to be responsible, not be insistent on their rights. Ignore differences, minimize differences, and emphasize what people have in common in order to bring people together. This is the world's philosophy. It's based on what's basic to them, their rudiments. It's that Rodney King, can't we all just get along kind of thing, you know. That's America. It's America. Don't you dare discriminate. Those are some of the world's rudiments, and evidently they lead to darkness. That's where it's led us. And they produce immorality, and they produce the antithesis of godliness. And we don't have a godly nation. We have a sinful, perverted nation, and it needs the Lord desperately. And I know that paints a bleak picture, but it's an accurate depiction of the world that we're living in today, unfortunately. All right.